Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And they were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm so sorry I'm late.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire, all the interviews that I put out every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you get 3 interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover those new ones, grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to also give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. We've had some great guests on lately, including comedian Martin Amini, talked with actors Nathan Stewart Jarrett and George McKay about the movie Femme. Rudy Mancuso was here. Rudy's in the new Prime Video movie called Musica. Also, actor Hamish Linklater, starring as Abraham Lincoln in Manhunt. We talk with Gary Clark Jr., Sheryl Crow, the Jesus and Mary chain, Chris Robinson of the Black Crows, Luke Hemmings of 5 Seconds of Summer, and our 900th episode special recently as well, featuring Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Gracie Abrams, actor Michael C. Hall, Dolly Parton, actor Michael Shannon, Sarah Silverman, Shelley Hennig, and that's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with Guy Garvey of Elbow. They're back with a record called Audio Vertigo. It's their 10th LP, and we're going to hear about how it became a beats-driven set that found the group going back to a recording process that they hadn't attempted since 2003. We'll get the inside stories behind some of the pseudonyms that populate the lyrics, and giving nods to Talk Talk, R.E.M., and the Beatles. Guy's also going to tell us how seeing a knife fight in Istanbul explains our communication with each other, and the personal traits that he's been completely wrong about himself for years. All that and more. We're talking Audio Vertigo. It's Kyle Meredith with Guy Garvey of Elbow.
Hello. That's a very cool looking studio. Is that in your house or?
This one's in my house. Yeah, it was. I don't know if this is just cool nerdy or immature nerdy, but you know, one of the two.
No, I like it. Look, I've got similar sort of arrays of knickknacks up there. Got my Russian leader dolls. Yeah, a little sculpture of the moon, and a miniature bust of Nefertiti, which me and my wife brought back from Berlin. We went to see the famous bust of Nefertiti in Berlin, and we brought my son back a little statuette. He didn't know it was missing one eye, and he was kind of overtired. He's only 6. And I was like, look, here she is. It's like 4,000 years old. And he was like, she's so beautiful. I absolutely lost his shit. Traumatized him in the bath later on. He said, I could still see her face in my mind. Yeah, that wasn't the desired effect. Scared the poor bugger.
Still, that's so much, you know, ancient relic. And, you know, I've got, you know, Ren and Stimpy here from, space. So,
yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I love Ren and Stimpy.
Save my walrus.
It's so good to have you on here. It's been a long time.
Thank you.
We've talked. This new record. I mean, listen, I think you could just do, you know, some of those like monk voice things for an album, and I would be happy with what you do. But luckily, it's even better than that. And Audio Vertigo, this album is so good.
Thank you.
So what this is what? This is album 10, right? Does that mean anything? Does that carry any extra weights?
It's kind of the same year as three of us turned 50. In fact, I'm 50 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you, man. And it's a nice round number. I know that my guitarist Mark has always said 10 albums, and I think that's a good number. That's it. But I think he's regretting that now. Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, there was such a period of uncertainty before we started this one with the whole bloody pandemic, etc. And actually, the album that we made in that time, which is a very subtle, incredibly personal thing, kind of came and went without any fanfare. There's nothing for radio on that record, really. And the column inches were hard to come by because of the bottleneck of people releasing albums at the same time. But part of us thought, oh, that's our lot, you know. We're sort of approaching 50. Maybe this is it. Maybe a hardcore of fans. But the fuss over this one has been amazing. So we're all sort of surfing cloud nine at the moment. We're all really happy.
Yeah. I mean, this one, it does have a swagger to it. Do you find that, I mean, most records happen in the way they happen, you know, however they happen. But there are some of those that's sort of in contrast to the one before, you know, so like purposefully. Do you find that it's one or the other in this case?
I think there was one conversation right at the beginning of making this record. Well, first of all, it was partly prompted from our drummer, Al. It's his fourth album with the band. And he asked after the last one, when I suggested Craig and he get together and make some beats, he sort of, in quite a teenagey way, kind of went, oh, man, oh, can I? Oh, I feel awkward. I was like, what? And he's like, I want to be more in on the writing. And it was like, okay. And the way it was put across was it was nothing to do with fiscal stuff. It was just he loves playing with the band and he wanted a hand in writing it. And it's like, he's been with us 7 years. It was like, yeah, let's do that. And him and Craig started the ball rolling. And at that point, we were so happy to be playing together. I think we were playing some massive stately home somewhere. And they played us the beats they'd come up with, Craig and Al. And I remember saying, should we make a really beaty album? And everyone just went, yeah. And I think that was the only conversation. And it was like a lot of it was done in a little room, sort of facing one another and playing at the same time, like we started out. We haven't written like that in decades.
Yeah, that's sort of what we imagine as fans. That's how it happens. And I know that's not always, it's obviously not how it always happens, but I think when you have the romantic image of the musicians, the band creating the record, that's what it is, right? It's just right there jamming it out, you know.
And it hasn't been like that since 2003. It's kind of like, well, I'll tell you what it was. In about 2003, we were embarking on our second album. We realized that we fell out an awful lot when writing. And it clicked one day that because you're having to shout over amplifiers and drum kits, your body thinks you're angry because you're shouting. So then we sort of started miking things up in another room so we could control the amp, you know, and talk to each other in the headphones. And then we started experimenting, perhaps after the fifth album, we started experimenting with having different days off. I voiced a documentary on the Beatles for the BBC, and there was an interview with an engineer from the White Album who said, when any three Beatles, and it didn't matter which three, were in the room, the work ethic was as ferocious as it had always been. But when all four were there, they were joined by the spirit of lethargy. And it resonated with me. I thought, of course, because same group dynamic, same music. You know, you're only at some of the things you've experienced. So I said this to the boys, and I was like, look, we're lucky there's five of us, Because at the time, we'd all been having a Wednesday off because I'm a broadcaster as well, and that's when I was making my show. So we all had Wednesday off, and that was like that for a few years. And I said, look, there's five of us, let's all have a different day off. And that kick-started the whole thing for a couple of records. And then I've lived in London now for 7 years. I lived in New York briefly. And making stuff long distance was how the last three or four records were made. And then this one, right back to zero, in a room, facing each other, shouting.
Was the REM song, "We All Go Back to Where We Belong." That's what, yeah.
That's a man with a turn of phrase, eh?
He knows how to do it. He really does.
You know, my favorite one of his is so brief and so perfect. It's "Furious Balancing."
Uh-huh. I know.
In "Day Sleeper."
Yeah.
And you get the man on the tightrope with the pole. It's a beautiful image. It's
"Day Sleeper" is probably balancing. My favorite REM song of all time. I'm not even joking.
Me too. I mean, it's up there. I'd say it's either "Day Sleeper" or "Perfect Circle."
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Guy Garvey. But those lines, and I'm actually going to pull this back to you in a second, but like you know, he'll do like "Hint of the Century." You know, that was it just what those small lines. When I'm listening to this record, and I don't know if, you know, so we're talking about the different recording techniques, like if you're the way you write a song has changed over the years, because sometimes you can write a story and the story is very obvious and the story is specific. And sometimes I don't know who Doc and Jim are. You know, nobody does. Right. That's what I'm saying. And there, I feel like there are more of those moments in this record that I maybe even at least noticed before, like those are happening. It's not exactly collage writing, but it is a bit of, you know, we're not privy. It's not inside jokes, but it sort of is, I guess. Right.
Well, I think it's, so Doc and Jem are, they're pseudonyms. All the names are pseudonyms. They're all character names. And like, I've always loved it in other people's writing when they've, you know, they've made some, Napoleon is weeping, you know, his invisible fiance is in the mirror. And it's like, I've always loved it. But they're all true stories, or they're all fragments. So Doc and Jem, Doc or Jem, whichever you prefer, was the first of my friends to come out. And bear in mind, this is 1991. It was a very different issue, especially in the north of England. And then celebrating how accepted he was and how wonderful everybody was about it, including his family, he went on a bit of a spree. and he slept with a few guys who I would say it was probably their only homosexual experience, you know, and he was very persuasive. But one guy he slept with and told everybody about, and the guy disappeared. And I've always found that really sad. And as I say in the lyric, I hope it doesn't weigh on Jem, because back then everybody had a gob on him. That's the lyric. And it's true. Everybody talked about their sexual conquests, you know, and he didn't know that was going to trash the guy's life, chase him out of town. So it's little things like that. I hope that people pick up on the fact that there's a resonance of a true story underneath those little snippets. You know, the character in the same song, Jesus Abyssinia, is a mixture of two or three characters that were all too old to be hanging around with us as teenagers, you know. And Jesus, because one guy in particular was Spanish, and Abyssinia, because I thought, what kind of a fucker uses the pre-revolution name for Ethiopia? You know what I mean? And yeah, never trust crushed anything. I guess that refers to these crushed velvet jackets and these little tinctures in the drinks of people around him, you know? One of those horror bags. And the whole song, you know, is about the horrors and the terrors and the absolute delights of being 17.
Which I love. And again, when you hear the whole story, you're like, oh, of course, I get it now. But your poetry and your lyrics are poetry. They are. They're absolutely poetic.
Thank you, Kyle.
And that's, yeah, that's, of course, how I, especially when I read them, you know, it's almost like a poem, because a poem, there's always, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of mystery to it.
And it's almost up to you, maybe in a mathematical way, to sort of figure that out, you know. And
I see a lot of it as well. I mean, the pervasive thing with this record was fun as a motivation, particularly the song Her to the Earth, which starts with this kind of farty, bad horn sample being played. It almost sounds like the Jaws theme tune, but crappy. And when Pete and Craig, you know, and then it breaks into this sort of broken groove, like a funk, but like a little bit crap. And like when they played it to me, I'd been away working on something very earnest in the next room. And I came in and this was going on, and Craig and Pete are looking at me and dancing. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And they were like, it's fun. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, now I get it. It's fun.
Yeah. I honestly don't think in 33 years someone had said, it's fun, you know? And it took me ages to come up with something for it. And when it did happen, through this process of layering my voice over and over and every time changing a syllable until the words appeared, and then it sounded a bit like Hall & Oates, which I wasn't expecting. But then the chorus, I had to completely counter it to make sense of it. And for the first time, I was like, you know the drum beat on the chorus of Happiness is Easy by Talk Talk? I was like, not like that, exactly that. And we did exactly that, you know, like an homage, a nod. And it's become my favorite track on the record because it stretched me as a writer, and because, as the gods Pete and Craig intended, it's fun.
It definitely stands out, and it like almost as a centerpiece in the record. And again, you know, I go back when I hear that song, it's like the line that came to me. It's not a lyric in it, but the idea that came to me. It's like, you think you've got problems, just look around. Mm. You know, they're a lot bigger out there than they are in this little bubble, you know, or whatever. And I feel like a lot of these songs, they have that. They're like, there's this opposition in the song. And then there's, to put it simply, there's love at the end of the rainbow, you know, and that seems like to be the solution.
Yeah.
As much as it can be. Is that close to maybe what you were going for?
Well, that song particularly, hang on, was it that one? No, Baloo. Before I conjured up the character of Baloo, borrowing from lots and lots of different people I love to make this one bear-like figure, it had a very different feel, the intensity of the music. And I was singing the refrain, broken prayers are raining down on London town. And I built on that lyric, and I did it like a siren. Broken prayers are, and it was hard hitting, and it was to the point, and it wasn't fun. And I thought, there's enough of this kicking about, you know. We're all fathers. We're all terrified by what's happening in the world, and crestfallen and heartbroken by the division in everyday life. And we thought we wanted to offer a distraction rather than a reflection this time. You know, our politics are well documented, and we're not afraid of a dark lyric or a sad lyric or a cry from the heart on something that we're passionate about. We thought, I don't think that's what everybody needs, and it's certainly what we don't need. You know, we need release, we need harmony, we need fun, we need something a bit more casual, something that's a bit more from the hips, you know, and something that will prompt questions, which is why this is so satisfying, Kyle.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Guy Garvey. Well, you related a knife fight in Istanbul to how we communicate with each other.
Oh, do you know what, man? I love telling this story. So my wife is posh. I never thought I'd marry a posh person. I'm from a large working class family. I grew up in a small house. Rachel's dad is a landowner. Her mum was a Hollywood movie star, and she's posh. She's a posh Shakespearean actress. And we weren't expecting to meet each other, But within the first couple of hours of talking, we realized we've got different enough life experiences, because we met at 40. I was 40. We've got different enough experiences of life while living in the same country that it'll keep us going till long after we're dead, you know, just the stories. And it's she's fascinating. But one thing that can be said of her is that she sometimes has quite a short temper, and she can be a little bit snippy if she's distracted, you know. And I have a tendency to follow around the kitchen while she's cooking or telling her something that I've been thinking very deeply about. And she'll literally be trying to move from one place to another with something in her hands. And I'm like, do you know, I had this thing about... So one morning it was like, hey, I remember something that happened years ago. Did I ever tell you about this knife fight I witnessed in Istanbul? And she went, what? What? Like that. I said, I witnessed a knife fight in Istanbul. And she was like, Jesus, what? Why? Why are you telling me this now? I was like, I don't know. I was wondering why I woke up thinking about it. And she went, right. And I thought, and now you're having the chorus. So as a permanent testimony to her short fuse, I related it to our sometimes broken communication system.
And I want you, I love you, and I need you. At least that line is in there just to be like, listen,
yes.
We're good.
Yeah. I was terrified playing it to her for the first time, of course.
How to go over?
She laughed her head off, which was the desired effect.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I know I'm up against the clock here. I will say, as far as lyrics go, I'm the dashboard hula girl of nodding self-deprecation. Or deception. Self-deception, I'm sorry. That's, as we're talking about favorite lyrics, that's probably it for me on this album.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're the first person to pick up on it, Kyle. That means a great deal to me.
I mean, you can see it and understand it, and everything is right there. You know, it's, or at least, you know, how I feel about it. That's a great one. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I mean, that whole song is, you know, it started out as, you know, truisms. When I met my wife, we met at a wedding. We were in quite a noisy space afterwards. So we had to be forehead to forehead in order to hear each other. And it was during this period that we started admitting our faults to one another. And then we moved on to things like, what do you think you're good at? And I said very earnestly, I think I can read people. And since then, she's delighted in proving that wrong over and over again.
Of course. So, right.
Yeah. I said, like, the whole song sprang from, I thought, what else have I been telling myself for years? But then I also, in the spirit of fun, started wondering who I would be if I was only surrounded by people who agreed with me, and if I still did all the drugs to put in front of me, you know. And there's a couple of pretty maniacal frontmen on the scene at the moment, like real left-of-building egos, Trumpian even, in their sort of detachment to reality. And and part of me thinks, fuck me, I could have gone there if I'd met the wrong people, done the wrong drugs. So that's what I did with the character in the song.
Oh, I love it. I love that. And I love that, of course, she sniffed that right out, because me and my wife are about to celebrate our 10th wedding anniversary later this year. And it is those moments. The moment you make a definitive statement like, oh, you can read people, huh? You know, that comes back 5 years later. Oh, you can really read people, huh? Yeah.
Hey, oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. It's good to have a constant check on your shoulder, wearing you down. I'm only joking. Luckily, my missus is hilarious.
Yeah, that's good to have. That is. This album is so good. It really is so good. I love hearing Elbow anytime. And this sits up there with one of my favorites. So, Guy, it has been a pleasure talking to you once again. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much, Kyle.
And my thanks to Guy. The new album from Elbow is called Audio Vertigo. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFBK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern.
You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured classics and favorites from Graham Parsons, Otis Redding, Elvis Costello, the Avett Brothers, U2, David Bowie, Sturgill Simpson, Madison Cunningham, Space Hog, James, the DBs, Joni Mitchell, the Beatles, Camera Obscura, Ray LaMontagne, King Kong, Tenacious D, Ramones, Pixies, Dan Beckner, Jill Sobule, Cracker, Old 97, Suki Waterhouse, and my interview with Ross Lynch, the actor who's also in the band The Driver era. That's just an example of what you get when you tune in Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you run into Lila Dean Watson, send her a kiss from me, would you?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.